Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, welcome back, my friends, once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 80 for January the 27th, 2015. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm going to help guide you through all this magical world of servers, switches, fiber optics, everything network connected, and everything technologically that we have to deal with on a daily basis. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Check out all the great tech podcasts at techpodcast.com. We're also now syndicated across another platform, and that platform is called Stitcher. Check it out at stitcher.com. It's a place where you can pick up many podcasts, not just this one, but many, many podcasts out there. You can download the app on your smartphone today, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Windows. I'm not sure if they have a Windows app, but I can tell you for sure they do have an iPhone or iOS app. And they do have an Android app. So those are available to you on your Play Store and on the App Store. Folks, please check out this website, this show site, and I hope you do. Check it out at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Tonight's going to be even more important than normal, but check it out at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, and we'll talk about why it's more important here in just a little bit. If you want to leave me a voice message, and I know you're biting at the bit to do so, you can do that at 724-701-0550. Once again, 724-701-0550. And folks, that is a Google voice number, and it's a voicemail box. So don't be afraid, like, oh my God, if I call Jack, might answer. What am I going to say? How am I going to address him? I don't know what to tell the guy. No, that's okay. I'm not going to answer the phone. So all you got to do is leave me a voice message. I'll listen to it, your question, and we can play it on a future show and answer it if it's a question or comment. I would love to get those in. If you have questions and you don't want to call the voicemail number, you go, I'm just not a real talker, right? I'm a talker, but maybe you're not. So if you want to give me questions or ideas for future shows, you can do that at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. jackstechcorner@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Twitter and it's at Technoman. Many of you have, and I appreciate the follow. And I usually, you know, I don't fill up your Twitter feed with a bunch of garbage. I don't post very much. So, you know, follow me on Twitter. And, you know, if you're a company out there or something and you have something important to say that I can maybe use on the future shows, I will also follow you back. So tonight I thought we would talk a little bit about this week's announcement. You know, was it this week or last week? Anyway, the recent announcement from Microsoft friend Redmond, and that announcement was Windows 10. And if you're in the tech world, such as we all are, you probably already heard all of this, so we're not going to go into great detail. But I have to bring you my views on some of this stuff, because my partner right away said, Jack, we have Windows 7 now. We have a couple Windows 8.1 that we put out in the network just to see how it's going to adapt. Not extremely well for the user, but the operating system did work flawlessly. I can tell Microsoft that. But the overall user experience was not really jumped upon from the user standpoint. But Windows 10 looks pretty good, huh? I finally got a preview copy. I got it downloaded, and I had a lot of issues, though. A lot of you know that I do run a Mac when I do these shows, and I run a virtual software runner called Parallels. Many of you probably run Parallels. You may have Parallels in your network. But the thing about Parallels is it just didn't have the drivers for Windows 10. And it kept coming up saying, sorry, the driver can't load, the CD-ROM can't load. And I'm like, wait a minute, CD-ROM, I'm loading from an ISO image. Why doesn't it work? It just should load. So I went to Parallels website, and it says, yep, you can load the ISO from Windows 10 and it will work just fine. Well, there's two things I did recently. One, I upgraded my iMac to Yosemite, and some software doesn't like to react with it as well as some other software. But what I found was with Parallels, there's actually an update to your Parallels that you're going to have to download. Or if you're not on the most current version, you may have to purchase the most current version to get Windows 10 to install. So I did get Windows 10 to install on a Mac laptop using the newest version of Parallels, and I'm planning on transferring that over to my desktop so I can start playing with Windows 10 a little bit more, trying to embrace it. But here's a couple things that I want you to know about. The first thing I want you to know about is when you install Windows 10, it's going to give you a couple options. Here's one of the options that it gives you. Do you want to install it as the look and feel of Windows 8.1? And that is with the tile interface. Or would you like to install it to look like Windows 7 desktop? Well, I chose Windows 7 desktop thinking that would give me the desktop, but give me the new start menu so I can start playing with it and start learning it for my users or for my clients, because you want to understand it. Now, folks, let me tell you, let me back up a minute. If you're in the business that we're in, and if you're one of these businesses out there, one of these people like myself that has consulting customers, these customers are going to start buying new computers at some point with Windows 10 on it. If you don't, you may not even like Windows 10. You may have not even liked Windows 8.1. But I loaded Windows 8.1, at least in a virtual parallel session, to learn it, to understand it, to understand where everything's located, because they kind of hid a lot of the stuff that we need to deal with as technologists. And that's very, very critical. So with Windows 10, it's no different. I have to learn Windows 10, and I have to understand where they put things, but I want to see it as the Windows 10 experience. I want to see that new start menu. When you install this new Windows 10, even in the preview now, when you start to look and feel like Windows 7, folks, the start button is back. The start button is identical, the same as it is in Windows 7. When you click it, you see all programs, you see your side, a little sidebar, and everything's there. Now, what I did find out when I was playing with it a little bit, and believe me, I just had a very, very small preview, just enough to really start touching base with you folks out there listening to the show and give you a couple of the highlights. When I started playing around with it, though, in the Windows 7 start menu, near the top, there's a button that says Windows 10 start menu. So if you click on that, it will revert it back to Windows 10. It doesn't stay there, because when you close the start button and click it again, it's back to Windows 7. But if you click on that, that gives you the look and feel of the Windows 10 start button or start menu or whatever you want to refer to it as. Now, here's the kicker. They did it in a really strange way, because one, the tiles are still there. They come up in the little submenu on the side, on the right-hand side of the start menu, and all of your tiles are there, and you can pin stuff to that tile menu, that start menu. But the interesting thing that I found was all the programs are on alphabetical order, you know, like kind of like they had it in the big interface. So you have like, it'll show you too, letter A and all your apps under A, like Audacity or whatever. Letter B, whatever's under B, and C. Now, I can't tell you if you don't have an app. If you don't have an app with the letter Z is not shown. But everything is alphabetical, and it's kind of, and I haven't played with enough to see if I can rearrange it myself. And all your programs have like a little square in front of them, almost like a bullet point. It's kind of weird looking. But these are the things that you need to know as a technologist. We need to start understanding it a little bit and load it, you know, and load it in a virtual session. Now, if you've never heard of it, and I'm surprised how many technologists out there haven't heard of this, because, you know, maybe you don't use them that much, but if you're on Windows and you don't want to buy VMware, the desktop client for VMware, you know, to load virtual machines on your computer, then you can download a free program or even on the Mac, and it's called VirtualBox from Oracle. Now, VirtualBox is okay. I did get Windows 10 to load on my iMac in VirtualBox, but here's what I don't like about it. When you load the VirtualBox tools, I put the tools in there, and it's supposed to, you know, load drivers and stuff so you can make it full screen and you can get the full experience. Well, that didn't happen. It's doing a little window thing on my screen in the middle of my iMac, and it's kind of hard to really play with it. What I like about Parallels on the Mac, anyway, is you get the full experience. Just like VMware on a Windows PC, you can open it up full screen. You can use two or three monitors. You can get the full experience of that operating system. That's what you want. You want to put yourself in there without putting that operating system on your working computer. Now, I was watching some of the keynote. It is recorded. There's a website. I think it's called channel9.com or something. But there is a place, and if I can find the link, I'll put it in the show notes tonight because I was just watching a little bit of it before this before the show here. I was sitting watching a little bit of this video, and they have the whole entire Windows 10 keynote. Now, it's about 2.5 hours long, but you can fast forward through a lot of the stuff on there. And probably one other thing I'm going to bring up tonight, too, that is very interesting to me. We'll talk about that in a minute. But now, you can do that and watch it and get the full experience of what they're showing you and what they're planning on doing. And, you know, and I think there's a lot of work to be done in Redmond, but I think they're leaning towards the right way. Remember I told you a few shows ago, we talked a little bit about, bad versions through the life of Windows. Like Windows 3.0 was horrible. Windows 3.1 fixed everything. Something like Windows Millennium. Horrible. You know, Windows XP kind of fixed everything. Then there was Windows Vista. Horrible. Windows whatever was next, 7, fixed everything. So there's a lot of issues there, a lot of problems, with different versions. So this version 10 is to fix everything that nobody liked about Windows 8.1. And my mother got a new computer. I had to go visit my mom, and I said, I love my mother, of course, and you want to visit your mom. But she calls me and says, look, Jack, I got this new computer. My neighbor helped me get it all together in the apartment, set it up. But I can't find anything. I can't use it. There's no start button. And so, I had to go, and I loaded the free start button and everything on there. So it all worked out for her, and she can use the computer now. So that is where, I guess, when you create, just think of it this way. If you create, an automobile, and they teach us how to drive when we're young and we learn how to drive. And, in the U.S. here anyway, we drive on the left side of the vehicle. But if we go overseas and have to drive on the right side of the vehicle, which feels very normal to the folks there in England or wherever, it would feel very odd to us. Just like them coming here, it would feel very odd. So when you change an entire interface, and I don't know how many of you out there are older, but when we went from Windows, Windows 3.1, and we moved into Windows 95, it was a drastic change. I knew a lot of guys in the business. We would keep going back to Windows 3.1. And the reason was, mainly the reason for me, I had a lot of control over that computer. And I kind of am a control freak with my computers. I liked to work, I had custom written the auto exec bat to do certain startup features when it was loading, because Windows 3.1, we remember, wrote on top of DOS. It was just a nice fancy interface for DOS. The underlying operating system was DOS, and it was very easy to manipulate. But, then Windows 95 came along, and I still remember that. I was younger at the time, much younger at the time, obviously. But I remember my mother actually bought it for me. Because I told her, I said, Mom, this is the greatest release in the history of computers. I got to have this. And I didn't really have the means back then to buy it. So my mom went out, we went out to a Best Buy, and she purchased it. It was whatever it was, $90 or whatever, and she bought it for me. I brought it home, I installed it on my computer, and probably within the next couple of days, I took it off my computer. And then about a week later, I put it on the computer. Because even then, I realized that a new operating system is new experiences for us, the technologist, and we are going to have to teach other people how to use it at some point in our lives. That's just what's going to happen. Because even your family, even if you don't work on servers, and I know this is a server show, but it's also a technology show where we talk about things that you're going to encounter in your server, in your server room experience, and you're going to have to deal with this Windows 10. It's going to come into your network somewhere, and you're going to have to deal with it. So anyway, this is the same kind of deal, and my partner was laughing the other day because when Windows 8, or Windows, 8.0 came out, and I said, I got to get this on my working computer. Microsoft wants you to put this Windows 10 preview on your day-to-day machine so you can use it day in and day out and get accustomed to it. And that's okay if there wasn't still some bugs. Now, it's pretty polished. It looks pretty good. And from my initial startup and everything, it seems to boot up pretty good. It seems to work all right. But I didn't really run any apps in it, you know, any of my applications in it. I mean, I'm sure Microsoft Office is going to be golden. I'm sure you're going to be fine with that. But I want to still do run test on, you know, I want to hook it to the main controller. I want to see how does it work with the control delete, you know, because if you install it now on your computer, it wants you to have a Microsoft Windows account. So like I still use my old Hotmail account for stuff. That's the little things that we have to worry about technologists does. We have to worry about how does it interact with the domain? Can our users navigate around to use the software? Can you put shortcuts on the desktop? There's a lot of different things we have to really be concerned about. Now, here's the kicker. This is in my show notes for tonight. My partner was saying, Jack, you know, remember I told you, we got to upgrade everything. We have Windows 7, and we have 1 year. We got to upgrade everything. Well, that's all well and good. But here's the problem is Windows 10 in the server environment, in your office environment, is not free. Okay, because there is what we call the TCO, and I'm sure you hear that all the time. It's called the total cost of ownership. So even though somebody's giving it to you for free, and let's back up a minute. Let me say if I call you up and I say, hey, Jim Bob, I'm going to send you a server that I'm no longer using. I retired a server, and I'm going to send this server to you, and it's free. You can just have it. Well, then you take that server. You're going to have to rack it. So now there's man hours involved. That's what I'm talking about here. So there's man hours involved with racking that server, putting it in, loading an operating system on it or virtualization software on it, whichever, and setting it all up, making a domain controller, DNS server, whatever you're doing. But there's time involved with this stuff. So Windows 10 in the corporate environment is not free. The reason Microsoft is doing that is quite clear to me. Because Windows 8.1 was not adapted, or not adopted, I should say, into the working in the corporate environment, not only because it was different, but because there's a total cost. And if you have to buy every PC, and you're talking $100 per PC, and you have 100 computers, it's a lot of money. So they figure if they give it to you for free, then you're going to be more adapted to do that. But it's still not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Microsoft needs some big target companies out there, and I don't even know who I would target. But they need some big target companies out there and say, look, either one, we'll pay a group of people to come in and upgrade all your computers for you for free. What we want you to do is we want you to write it up. We want you to videotape stuff. We want you to show the user experience back to the users. I think that that overall experience of back to the users, because what that's going to do is give me maybe, and maybe do it some educational company, educational places, you know, and not cyber schools, not something you can't see, something where people can see it operating. And then I think other systems administrators, technology directors will start to get that feeling like, hey, if this company is using it and it's working and it's fluid and it must be okay, it must be solid. How many people do you know in this business that we're in can tell you, hey, Jim Bob, in my company, CAD Drafting Incorporated, we loaded Windows 8.1 on 200 computers and we're doing CAD drawings on them and it works fine. None. You're not going to find anybody that adopted it that way. Windows 8.1 landed in the home. Now, will Windows 10 for free be really good for people in the home? Well, let's investigate that a second. Think about that. If you have a techie person around that can help you out, Sure. It can be really nice. Like my mom, I'm sure I'll upgrade my mom's computer and I'll do that for her. When their website says the technical preview, read the technical preview website. I'm going to see if I can bring it up as I'm chit-chatting with you here. Anyway, but it talks a lot about... somebody pointed this out to me somewhere on their website, and I don't know exactly where it is here. But it's talking about if you don't know what an ISO is, then the technical preview probably is not for you. Okay, so think about that a little bit. How many people in the world today knows what an ISO image is, right? If you don't know what an ISO image, how are they going to, I don't know how they're going to promote this out and say, look, you can upgrade your computer for free. Is it going to be through the Windows Store? Maybe somebody out there can chime in. Maybe some folks, maybe at Microsoft can chime in and say, Jack, that is how they're thinking of doing it. I don't know, but if they want you to download an ISO, burn a CD or DVD, which is another whole can of worms, how are you going to get the regular folks out there? Or are you just going to give it away in the store and you go and put the DVD drive in, which a lot of tablets don't have a CD or DVD drive. So I think we're going to have an issue going on here with that aspect of it. I was gonna let you hear this guy, but I don't know how long this video is here. Let me see.
Windows Insider program is a global
This is talking about the Windows Insider program. Let me back up a minute. So if you're not in the Windows Insider program and you're a technologist, why not? How come you're not in the Windows Insider program? I was really upset, and I know some folks from Microsoft have heard my show many times here, and we've done some interview with them. And here's one drawback is TechNet. TechNet was my resource to everything. When a new piece of software came out, we always paid for TechNet every year. When a new piece of software came out, I was able to download like the new Office, get an idea of what it looked like, if it would fit in my environment. Can I teach my end users how to use the new features? That kind of stuff is huge. I mean, just huge. So what I'm going to do now in this portion of the show is to give you a little bit of a background of what they came up with the Windows Insider program and how it actually operates. Let's just listen to this real quick.
The Windows Insider program is a global program. It provides essential feedback directly to Microsoft and directly to the hands of the PMs and developers building the product.
We went through the effort to ask questions and give our engineers the capability to get your feedback because we want to make the best possible product that we can for you.
It will result in a better global product for Windows.
Windows Insiders are hugely important to us. We love you guys.
We see our relationship with Insiders as a partnership where we work together to build the best Windows 10 possible.
You know, there are 1.5 billion people in the world who use Windows. When we get your feedback, it makes it easier for us to make sure the product matches your expectations. So thank you.
We really appreciate the fact that you are giving time out to give us feedback and to help make a difference in Windows, and we are truly appreciative of that.
This feedback that you send through the Windows feedback applications gets sent to a Microsoft data center, and then we process this into something that's intelligible for engineers. This appears on various dashboards that engineers can use, all the way up to our VPs. They're looking at this on a daily basis, and they hold us accountable.
This is really the future of building Windows. We're doing it together.
We're getting feedback from 226 different geographies around the world.
And we owe it to you to read each one of those comments that you give us and to take actions on it.
We know how much time and dedication you are giving us.
Without you, we wouldn't be where we are today.
When we started Windows 10, we had a vision of having our window switchers, so Alt-Tab and Task View. And one of the pieces of feedback we received was people love that, but they thought Alt-Tab was a little too jarring. And so we made a change based on your feedback to make Alt-Tab a little more familiar, but still retain all those benefits.
There actually is a real translation between feedback that's given and impact or changes that we're making in the product.
We're listening.
Thank you for all you have done so far, and we will definitely repay your investment with a great release.
You're showing us your commitment to Windows. We want you to know that we're committed to you.
There simply isn't a path forward for Windows without a direct connection with the customer. The Windows Insider program gives us that connection at an earlier phase than at any other time in the history of Windows.
We're co-creating the future of Windows with you.
One of the beautiful things about this program is that I kind of feel connected to people in Tokyo who love Windows just as much as I do. This is not just a Redmond thing. This is a global thing. So wherever you are, it's our Windows.
Okay, so it's our Windows, huh? Windows 10 is our Windows. It's the future, is building things together. Did anybody ever hear of a something like that called open source, where you get to put feedback in and people take that? And did you ever wonder, and I know I wondered, and I'm not here, and believe me, I love Apple and I love Microsoft, both companies. I do a lot of great stuff with their products. But did you ever wonder, remember like that box would come up, it's like, you have error code 45259325-1714. Do you want to send this to Microsoft? And you hit a button, send now. Did anybody ever read that stuff, or did anybody ever care? Now there is a built-in box, and I used it this morning on Windows 10, and I'll tell you why. Windows 10, when I installed it, it should come up some point and ask you for a user to log in. And you should log in with, you know, for the first time anyway, with a Microsoft account. Now, in the corporate world, it's probably going to be different, and I haven't tried it yet. I'm talking about a personal user just trying out the preview. But it didn't do that. Now, I'm believing, I kind of think it's not a flaw in Microsoft. I think it's because Parallels picked up my user account off my local laptop, and it used that account. Because when I used a password, it allowed me to log into Windows 10. But then a box came up at the bottom that says, why didn't you use your Microsoft account to log into Windows 10? Well, when I clicked on that box, there was a comment box, and it was a feedback box. So I actually sent them feedback this morning already and said, look, it didn't ask me for my Microsoft credentials before it actually started up on its own. It kind of just did its own thing. So it might have been a Parallels thing, but it could have been that there was some flaw, so I wanted to report that. This is huge, though. If they're actually taking a database and taking all these billions of questions and saying, look, this needs to be realigned, this needs to be fixed, this is not really what the experience we were thinking, and then they're going to create new builds. On that note, apparently, and I told my partner this, I don't know how it works, and I wish I could call Microsoft and get a little insider information here. Apparently, if you sign up for the Windows 10 free upgrade for your computers at your office, you're also agreeing to allow Microsoft to update that computer whenever they fix something. So instead of having the Tuesday updates where we run our WSUS server, our update server, and we acknowledge what updates we want to push out to our computers, they're going to just update that computer. I believe that's what I heard. So what happens then is, wonder if they update it and all of a sudden none of your computers will run the critical mission software. Like, wonder if we say you're in a finance company and you're using just a program, like, let's just say it's not a big finance, you're using QuickBooks for your financials, and they do an update and QuickBooks no longer works. Your people come in the morning, turn their computers on, they log in, and QuickBooks doesn't work because the computer updated because you agreed to that, because you took the free update. I hope that they still allow the corporate world to use their WSUS servers. And if you've never used one of those, I'll have to go over that. We talked about it some time ago in the podcast. But just real quickly, it allows you to check boxes. And you say, I want this update and this update and this update to be pushed out to my computers. If you don't check it, then it doesn't get pushed out. So they're not checked by default. They're unchecked by default. And that's what you want until you run a test system and say, yep, this is what I want to do. So that's something to think about. So there is not a free, it's not a free upgrade in the corporate world. It is free to you. And I do suggest that you sign up for the whole insider's experience and download the ISO image. There's two versions. There's a 32-bit version and a 64-bit version. Microsoft has not yet bitten a bullet and went all 64-bit. And I believe that's because they still know there's some older systems out there, but I don't know how this is going to run on older systems. I don't know the overhead that it's going to take to run Windows 10. But I still have some work to do. We're still going to do some experimentation in our corporate network and to make sure it connects to the domain controller and to see if Windows Server 2012 will still have enough policies to policy base and lock down my Windows 10 installations like I can with Windows 8.1 because there's a lot of policies in it for 8.1. So that is kind of my backbone of Windows 10 that I know right now. I just wanted to give you guys and girls an update out there about how it's going so far. And like I said, I am going to be playing around more with it to get a little bit more experience of how it works. We're going to talk about next here really quick is, well, not really quick. I got a little bit of time left with you. We're going to talk now just a little bit about tablet computing. And tablets are huge in our industry. And the reason they're huge in our industry is not just because of the iPad. This is not going to be an Apple iPad commercial by any means. What I'm talking about is all of these great Windows. Now, they're Windows 8.1, but on a tablet computer with a touchscreen, Windows 8.1 is fairly used, let me reverse that. It's very, very useful. I have not experienced any issues with a touchscreen because I can use gestures, you know, and a lot of people say, well, there's that stupid charm bar on the side, but, you know, I can pull that out. I can get to my settings. I can get to the power button and all that stuff. So the Tau interface works very good on tablets. Here's why I wanted to bring this up tonight. Is I bought a new tablet, and I don't know if I told you folks about it or not, but it was right before Christmas, and I found a pretty good deal. It's actually the price of this tablet. It wasn't a deal at all. This is the actual retail price of this tablet I'm telling you about tonight. So I told about a dozen people about it, and they all bought them. They bought them for their kids at home. They bought them for themselves. They bought them for their loved ones, and it's just a really, really good tablet. But anyway, let me start out by saying, if you can't afford a Surface Pro 3, which I would love to have one, it would be great if Microsoft would mail me one so I can maybe demo it, try it out a little bit, kick the tires of it, even if it's just a demo unit, and play around with it a little bit in the corporate world and see if it fits as a technology director, on a day-to-day basis, hooking it to my switches to manage my switches, hooking it directly into the network via Cat5 cable or Cat6, and managing my network with it. That's the stuff I like to do with the Surface Pro 3 if I can get my hands on one. But I can't, and I can't afford it. I can't see spending that much money for it right now. Hopefully, the price does come down, and people are saying that maybe it will come down with all these other tablets out there. But what I did buy is on the recommendation of Paul Thurrott. Now, if you don't know who Paul Thurrott is and you're listening to podcasts, obviously you probably listen to some of the TWiT podcasts. And Paul Thurrott does Windows Weekly with Mary Jo, another great Windows person, and Leo. But he was recommending the Toshiba 7-inch tablet. I don't even know if it's still available. I imagine it would be. Now, the 7-inch tablet was okay. It's pretty cool. It's a nice tablet. It comes with Windows 8.1 Pro on it for free. So they put that in there. It was a $90 tablet, maybe $99. 7-inch. The resolution of the screen is not the greatest. And the only drawback with it is that I found is I can't plug a USB stick into it that I remember. No. But I did put an SD card, a micro SD card in it to give it more memory. So you can do that with it. But what it is good for is any kind of IP stuff you're doing or any kind of web-based management you're doing with your network, you can do it on this little tablet. Even we use them for support desk tickets, right? Help tickets. It's really nice to have that in your hand, just walk around, doing your tickets during the day. So it's a pretty cool little tablet. I like it. The battery life seems to be extraordinary on it. It just runs all day. Now, let's go with the other part of that is it comes with Windows or Office 365 for free for 1 year. So what that means is, and Jack, people say, Jack, what does that mean? That means you can use the online version of Office 365 for 1 year, but it also allows you to download that software. You can download Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, and you can put all those on that tablet, and those are going to stay there. I can't see where Microsoft's going to revoke those and take them back off the tablet once you have them installed. You just won't have access to the Office 365, the online component, after the 1 year if you don't pay for it. Here's the wow factor to me, what I did next. The next thing I did was, right before the holidays, I was looking on the internet for different deals for my family, and I came across an ad for another tablet. And this tablet is called the NextBook. It's NextBook. And they sell it exactly the place I tell people never to buy a computer from. I say, look, you don't buy a computer from a place where you buy your motor oil, your deodorant, and your dishwashing liquid from. You shouldn't buy a computer from there. But it's Walmart. For some reason, NextBook didn't pick Staples or didn't pick Best Buy to sell these things. They picked Walmart as a discount store to sell these things. This is a 10.1-inch tablet, so it's a little bit bigger than the iPad. The screen resolution is amazing. Things look beautiful on it. It has, get this right, 32 gigs of internal storage. And then I added a 64-gigabyte micro SD card so I can plug it right in the side of it. And the micro SD card, I'll give you a little kicker here. The micro SD card I got from eBay, and I paid $10 for it brand new. So look for these things. Look around a little bit and find some, deals out there. There's great deals on micro SD cards. So I put that in. What I do like about this thing is it does have it's a micro HDMI out. So, and I bought the cable. I have the cable here. I haven't played with it yet to hook it to a monitor. But I got a micro HDMI cable to VGA. Plug it in, and then you can just simply take that, and you can just simply put that out there and hook it to a monitor. And that's really, really great. That extends the usability of the tablet itself. Okay, so actually, wait a minute here. I'm actually trying to pick up my NextBook right now. So yeah, but remember when I bought this thing, first of all, the cable, I bought a mini HDMI to a VGA. Well, it didn't fit. I didn't realize that there was a mini and a micro, but it's a micro HDMI to VGA. You can also get micro HDMI to regular HDMI and micro HDMI to DVI. So whatever monitor you have, you can hook this tablet to. The other thing that's really nice about it, it has a micro USB port. Now, that's huge because I bought a cable. Again, I just got these little dongles on eBay. Micro HDMI or micro USB to regular USB. I've used a USB microphone on it. And I can record a podcast. So it's a nice little podcasting tablet. I also hooked a external hard drive, and it works just like you would think it should work. Because this tablet is running Windows 8.1 Pro. So that is not RT, it's the Pro version. And also, it comes with a full keyboard with the tablet. And the way it works, and what I told you about earlier is you're going to want to check out tipsfromtheserveroom.com website, because I'm going to put some pictures of this tablet. I'm going to grab some pictures here after the show's over, after I'm done recording. And I'm going to put some pictures up with tonight's posting on the blog here, so you guys can go to Tips from Serve Room and see it. But it works as a hinge. It opens up. And the hinge itself is where the tablet's at. So you can pull the tablet off, and then you have just a tablet itself with just, a detached keyboard. The downside of it, I'll give you the negative part here, is the keyboard and the tablet do not work as Bluetooth like many do out there. This particular keyboard, on the side of the tablet itself, there's like an 8-pin connector. And it sits down in to the hinge, and that's what connects the tablet to tell it that the keyboard is attached to it. So you can't detach it and put the tablet somewhere else and move the keyboard around. You can't do that. But that's not a bad thing. That's okay. Because when I hook a keyboard up, I'm using it as basically a laptop. And it has just a standard keyboard. The keys are not small. Did you ever see a 7-inch keyboard or some of those keyboards I saw for the iPad, and I know I bought one myself. The keys are so small, they're almost unusable to really type. You're not going to create any documents with it. This keyboard is pretty much a basic laptop keyboard. The keys are pretty much stretched out over it, and I'll have pictures. So look at the pictures on tipsfromsurfing.com. Check them out and see what you think about this thing. I'll do a picture of it put together, and I'll do a picture of it pulled apart. So Now, once you pull it apart, though, I mean, the tablet is a tablet. I went to the Windows Store on the tablet, and I purchased, let's say, the Twit app. Many of you might be familiar with that on your iOS devices or on your Android devices. Well, they have a Windows app also, and it allows me to go on the treadmill in the mornings. I use the tablet. I just take the tablet off. I put it on my treadmill, and I watch, you know, I'll watch maybe an episode of Twit or something that's on Leo's network. So that part of it's really cool. Here's the big thing. I got two applications you're going to download and put on this thing. And what's nice about it, most of the applications you can install to your micro SD card. So I don't always have to use the 32 gigs of bits of internal storage. I put a 64 gigabit micro SD card in this tablet. What I do is I install my applications to that SD card, leaving the main storage on the device pretty much free with just the operating system. What I want you to put on here, though, is PuTTY, P-U-T-T-Y. You should be familiar with that. And what PuTTY allows us to do is allows us to use a micro USB cable to a serial cable. And then you can plug into any of your device's console ports, and you can console right into your switches, your routers, and all that stuff with this small little tablet. It's so great to be able to walk around this thing and hook the keyboard to it, and I can throw commands at my routers and my my firewalls and my switches just by simply using this little device. So it's lightweight, and it's just very, very versatile. The battery life is great unless you leave it. Now, I tend to always shut it off, and the reason I do that is I found if I leave it on all night and then I wake up to get on the treadmill in the morning and I go to turn the tablet on, a lot of times the battery life is just not there. It just doesn't hold up all night long. So what I tend to do is I tend to power it off. But this thing boots up with solid-state drives and Windows 8.1. Did anybody ever notice how fast it does boot? It boots up relatively quickly. So it boots right up and it works. So again, I'll put some little bit of pictures of this thing on tipsfromtheserveroom.com so you can take a look at this. The next thing is I want you to download is one of the greatest applications for any technologist out there, and it's called Notepad Plus. Now, Notepad's okay. We've all used it in time or time again. I used to design websites with Notepad Plus. But Notepad Plus, even on your computers, wherever you're at, but it's a Windows-based software. So it's for, you know, PCs. It's not for your Macs. But Notepad Plus allows you to do things like writing scripts, writing batch files, and you can do all that with Notepad Plus. You can even use it for writing JavaScript, so you know, or PHP. I use it for PHP scripting. There's a lot you can do with it. It's just really nice to have that on your little tablet because it's going to make it even more usable for you in the field when you're doing things. So it's just a great device. And here's the kicker. The Surface Pro 3, when I looked, if I bought one for myself, I'd probably want the i5, and I've been telling my wife I want to buy it. But I have so many things in life that I'd like to pick up. It just doesn't really fit into what I need to purchase today. So the version I'm looking at probably is going to be about $1,500 for the Surface Pro 3. And then it's what, another about $200 for the keyboard? This thing comes with the tablet. It's a 10.1-inch tablet screen, so it's not quite as big as the Surface Pro 3. But it comes with the keyboard. And then what I did, I bought just, you don't need it because the touchscreen is so great, but I did buy a Bluetooth mouse to go with it. I got that on eBay for about $6. Works great. But I got this tablet at Walmart for $180. So $180, it comes with Windows 8.1 Pro, and it also comes with the Office 365 for 1 year for free. Now, here's what I was telling you about earlier about the kicker. I bought the 7-inch tablet, and I registered my Office with my Microsoft account name. And then I bought this tablet, and I registered my Office with my Microsoft account name. And now my Office 365, it stacks it. So I have 2 years of Office 365. So because I bought two devices. The way these companies are getting away with this, I guess, anything under a 10-inch tablet, I believe is what they said, they can load Windows 8.1 for free. So there's no OEM fees or anything for them. to have to worry about paying. So they're getting the operating system for nothing, but how can they sell you this grade of hardware for $180 is beyond me, because it's amazing. I just can't say enough about it. Even the trackpad is useful. You know, I mean, trackpads are trackpads, you know, on tablets or on small keyboards, but the trackpad's very useful. It's very responsive and it works. But when you have a touch screen, you really don't need a mouse, because you'll start touching the computer more and you start to interact with the computer in that way. So it's really just a great device. And check it out. Go to walmart.com and look for NextBook. It's NextBook. If you do buy one, I do suggest you email the company. I'm going to be talking to them very soon. Email them and say, hey, I heard about you from this podcast called Tips from the Server Room, from this guy named Jack. So just, you know, drop them an email if you buy one. Say, hey, this, you like it, and this is where you heard about it from. I would appreciate if you did that, because I'm going to be talking to those folks soon. And they got different size tablets. I think they have a 13-inch tablet, and they also have some 7-inch tablets you can look at, but they're called NextBooks. Just a very solid piece of hardware. Very, very nice. So there you have it. It is all black, and I got a lot of spots on mine right now. Actually, I'm looking at this. You're not going to see those in the pictures. I'm not going to show you that I need to clean it. Anyway, so that's that. Before I started the show, I told my wife, I said, I have nothing to talk about tonight. I said, I'm going to sit here on the microphone and just leave dead silence for 45 minutes. And I've been nonstop talking for 45 minutes. So hopefully you listened to all of this show. Hopefully you took into account about Windows 10. You're going to sign up for the Insiders program, you know. And I think if you install this stuff, you need to give Microsoft that feedback. If they're asking for it, and we've been yelling for years, I wish Microsoft would do this. I wish they would do that. Well, now, if you're not part of this Insider program, you're not allowed to say that any longer. You can't say that anymore. You're just going to have to deal with whatever comes out. So sign up for the Insider program. It's free. It's not going to cost you anything. And, you know, sign up. Just put your name in there and say, hey, my name's Jack, and I'm a Windows user, and I don't like this because, and hopefully they'll correct any of those issues we have. Folks, I want to thank you so much for downloading and subscribing to these shows. Man, I can't tell you the number of you out there listening to this show each week has been, just blows my mind. When I started this little podcast, I thought, man, people want to know more about servers and networks and switches. And I thought, what qualifies me to bring it to you? Because I know there's some very smart people out there listening to this show. And, you know, and even I told my wife at dinner some nights, we'd be talking about it. I said, well, I don't know what qualifies me to tell them. She goes, well, she said, you've been doing this for almost, you know, going on roughly 27 to almost 30 years. So 27 years of working with servers and computers and building servers and, you know, building networks and designing them, engineering networks. She said, maybe you are qualified to talk about all this stuff to folks out there. Maybe they will want to listen. But folks, the numbers have been astronomical, and I appreciate you listening. If nothing else, just looking at the numbers each week saying, hey, people are listening. That's a great joy to me. So, hey, at least I'm paying it forward. I'm giving you a little bit of knowledge, hopefully a little bit of love for Microsoft or love for networking, to maybe spread that joy around to some other folks. And folks, if you want to support this show, how can you do that? You can send a donation for $1 million to my PayPal account. No, that's not how. Of course you could, but that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for your generosity through my Amazon link. Folks, you can find my Amazon link at tipsfromserverroom.com. Go there and look at the website. You're going to look at some pictures about the next book this week, and there's going to be just maybe two or three pictures. Have a look at that, and you're going to look on the right-hand side. There's an Amazon link. If you go to buy anything from Amazon, not just computer stuff, it could be anything. I want you to click on my Amazon link and bookmark that. Every time you use the Amazon, just click your bookmark for Amazon, and there's a small, very small proceed that comes back to the show. But it does help out. It helps to purchase gear that we need to run these shows. It helps to purchase things for me to bring more tips and tricks your way. So, you know, whatever you can, whatever you buy, it's not going to cost you anything more. But Amazon says, hey, wait, Jack sent them over here. Let's give Jack 10 cents off of this $100 sale. anything helps us out there. And it saves me from going out holding a tin can and shaking it, right? Saying, dollar, sir, do you have a dollar, please? I don't have to do that because you're going to use my Amazon link. Folks, what does qualify me to sit here and talk to you for 45 minutes to an hour each week is I've been teaching Windows servers and Windows networking for years. And I tell you what, we have some great online courses available for you at a super low price. And don't let that fool you. But anyway, we're teaching Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012 R2, and VMware ESXi Server from A to Z. From install to administration, you'll get it all. Sign up for one of these courses at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Look at the online class link at the top of the page. Click on that. These courses are self-paced, folks, so it's just very simply self-paced. Here's the emails I get about this course all the time. One, Jack, I see your courses and I see the price is set only at $250. Your course must be crap, because most courses about Windows cost anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000. And, you know, why is this? Well, it's very simply put. I work in this business, right? And I work full-time. I'm not like a lot of these companies. A lot of these companies full-time want to sell you these course things, and they have a lot of staff they got to pay to bring you this stuff. So what we do here at with my classes and with my parent company, Jack's Tech Corner, we provide these classes for you at a very, very low rate because we want to pay it forward. I want to help share my knowledge with you at a very decent price. But what's nice about these courses is you're on here for life. That's another email I get. Jack, once I sign up, as soon as I'm done, am I deleted off the course? No. You can come back as a reference whenever you wish to do that. You go to those courses where you pay all that money. When you're done, it's over. And you have 1 year to complete theirs. I've had people in my courses now for 4 years. There's been people in these courses. And they still come back. I see they come back and watch the videos. So check those out. I mean, you know, no big push for it. Once you do complete the course, I've had people take all three of them. You do receive a certificate in the mail. I print it out. It's really a good-looking certificate. You can use that to get future jobs, hang it on your wall. You can use it to get promotions at work, maybe a server promotion. Maybe you're a network admin now, or maybe you're a hardware tech and you want to be a server person. This can get you that promotion you're looking for. Once again, sign up for those at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Folks, I hope you have a great work week this week. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight, and I'll be back here next Tuesday to bring you more about Windows servers, network switches, and all things connected. Thanks. Have a great work week, my friends. I'll talk to you then. Bye for now. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.